Welcome to my very first podcast. I've never done this before in my life, but I used to do the Blogspot radio thing, but I had some issues with it. They limited the times when you could do it. They kept cutting down on the amount of time they gave you. I mean, I started out doing like 2 hours at a time on there, and then they cut it down to one, and now to a half an hour. And I really didn't want to be limited like that. You have to be, you know, at your computer at a certain time, on a certain day. And podcasting, I can sit here and do in my living room whenever I want to. So I'm switching to this. And I'm also kind of switching formats. Because I don't want to cover the same subjects. I'm really covering more music here. And maybe books and occasional movie or whatever really interests me like that. So that's what I'm going to be sticking on here. Probably very mostly music. So if you don't know me and don't have any idea of who I am, let me give you a little bit of background. And then I'll cover some subjects or talk about a couple of things I want to discuss tonight in this podcast. One of which I think if you're a Mac owner will be really, really, really helpful. So you might want to hang around and listen in on that one. Because I'm actually using the process right now to record this, and I'll explain it all to you when I get there. But let me go back and rewind for everybody who doesn't know who I am and, you know, didn't listen to the Blogspot radio all the time. That way you'll have some idea. If you look at this, I called it Beautiful Noise because really music is noise, it's just sound. But we make it certain ways with certain instruments, and it's pleasing to the ear. Blah, 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 blah. Well, some of it's pleasing to the ear. But that all aside, that's what I really wanted to center this on, because over the last few years, I have done quite a bit of volunteer work at my church, at Living Word Bible Church. I did a couple of years behind cameras there, volunteering. Then I did a couple of years on the sound equipment and system. I helped out with that. I used to set that up and mix everybody in the back for the monitors on stage. Then I would go out and I'd do the front of the house. And it always sounded good and everybody was happy with me. Then I switched over and I joined a choir for a couple of years. I did that. And it was a lot of fun. And I have to admit, I never got anxious being up on stage. And if you listen to me now talking on here, it's like, I'm the least bit, you know, nervous or anything like that. It just never bothered me. And we had performed once with Carmen, which was amazing because he was like this hero from when I was young. I'm from back in the day, so... We were one time, I guess, on TBN Live. So it just never bothered me to be up there in front of the cameras and singing and doing all that. But I don't know if I have the voice for that, really. So I've really wanted to switch over and started playing guitar. Because what I would really rather do is just go ahead and be a musician there. Then I don't have to worry about, you know, trying to get in singing practice. And I can sit here at home and practice my guitar, but I can't do that singing practice because you have to practice with everybody else because you have to sing together. So, you know, it's like eating time up that I couldn't afford to give up at the time when I was singing it, let's say. So I've been working on this. I have a bachelor's degree from Arizona State University in journalism, broadcast production, so I handle all the equipment there too, and the TV cameras, and the mixers, and everything like that. So I'm really familiar with all the basics, and so now, you know, I'm working on really getting good at guitars, and I want to get a whole lot better about at least beginning to produce some music. I've had some stuff that I posted on something called Indaba, which if you look on my page there, you'll see the link and you can go to it and you can register. It's a lot of fun. They basically take somebody's song, they break it into all its parts, they throw it up there and they say, here you go guys, remix it. So you go in, you get all the parts, you download them, and you remix it, and you throw it up, and you win prizes, and you can win money and equipment and some pretty nice stuff. So if you're not already an Indaba member and you love to produce music or you're a musician, I highly recommend you join that site. And the other one I've joined is SoundCloud, which is just for sharing music. You just post tracks that you've created, and you can share them on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and just let people listen to it there. There's no competitions or anything with that. But I did get, and I will talk about this later too, I did get to download a copy of Ableton Live 8. They have a trial version. I believe it works like on and on. I don't think it has like a 30-day limit or anything like that. And we got it for free just for being members. So that's kind of cool. They did throw us a bone there. But that's really my background. I know enough about audio engineering. I know enough about, you know, using DAWs and using all the equipment and using instruments, electronic instruments. Right now, I actually have a really old, cheap, that still works, Yamaha keyboard that's about 10 years old. My sister helped me buy it. She paid for half of it. That was my Christmas present. And it's a PS275. So you might want to look that up. It's really old. In fact, it won't even accept an incoming MIDI signal. You can only do MIDI out. There's no in. So, and you can't use the speakers on it. Nothing when you plug it in. It's decrepit. But it works. And I use it sometimes. I also happen to own a Yamaha guitar. FG-700S. I just got it recently. I had gone to Guitar Center, and had actually been looking around, and I'd had my heart set on another guitar. And I'd actually also looked at some of the Ibanez, and I really liked the sound of them. But when I picked this one up, I just fell in love with it. It is great. For the price I paid for it, it's an amazingly good guitar. I also have an electric. It is a just a little Epiphone Les Paul Jr. There's nothing fancy there because I'm not a great lead guitarist, so I'm using it. And I'm using it with my Xbox and Rocksmith. And I'll talk to you about that one of these days. One day I'll break my guitars out. One of these days I'll get the keyboard out and play around, and we'll talk about different subjects as we go here. You know, you can't shove everything into like whatever this is going to be into one podcast. But I just wanted to let you know who I am, what I got. I also got a little Squire bass guitar that I bought it used. It has a minor issue with the volume knob is kind of bad. But I have a little amp for it, and I can play it. And I actually have the eMedia software for the keyboards and the bass. And I've gotten quite far with the bass. And I have to admit, learning the bass and learning the guitar itself are not 100% different. There's quite a bit of overlap. And like I said, I'll eventually yank all this stuff out. A good part of what I want to do here is just say, hey, look what I learned today. And share those things, because if I can explain it to somebody, maybe they can get it. And being in the learning process myself, you know, maybe I can help somebody else that way. So that's my equipment. I have a MacBook that I'm working on. I'm actually recording this into Audacity, although I do have GarageBand 11. I want to get Logic. I just need to get back to work. I've been off work for a while, and I can't afford it right now, or I'd already be sticking it on here. This little computer's it's a trooper. It's 4 years old. Doesn't have anything wrong with it. I've worn a little bit of the S and D cord, not the cords, but the keys, to where you can't quite read the letter from a distance. I wore a little white spot in the middle of the letter on it. But I updated the hard drive. I put some more memory in it. It's got 4 gig of memory, and it just rolls, man. It's been the greatest computer that I've ever owned. And I've owned a few, and worked on a few. Let's see. I got a little 4-channel mixer. I got MTX microphones. I got the $100 set. I think it was the I want to say 991, 992 set that come together where you get the voice microphone and the instrument microphone. I use it. I'm not 100% convinced about them yet. They seem to be clear enough. But they also seem to have a lot of bottom end. And I have to figure out why it is that I'm coming across a little... Everything comes across just a little bit muddy on them. And as soon as I get that, then I'll have something. So... But that's really my equipment. Yeah, I just plug my electric guitar into my Xbox, or I plug it into the mixer, and if I record anything, I record just straight into my GarageBand. I got a little PV amp for the bass guitar, which is a nice little amp. It actually is pretty nice. And it's just a small one. I live in an apartment. I don't need to be blowing out the neighbor's windows and having the police called on me. They actually put a flyer on our doors a few weeks ago reminding us you're supposed to keep it down when you live in an apartment. They can come and they can haul you away or give you a ticket. Or tell all your friends, you know, to get lost or whatever if you're having a loud party. So I just didn't want to go that route. I'd have no real call to mess with the police. So, but that's all my background, you know, what I got, where I'm at. Now I'm in practice, learn, begin to do mode. So I thought I would bring it like that. And use what I'm learning and experience I'm gaining and everything like that and just kind of share it. The one thing I would like to do, though, is if there's other people out there that are interested and they can, or they are interested too, or even if you just love music and you want to do it, that's fine. I don't mind. I would love to have the opportunity to have other people step in and let me get on here and talk to you. We can just Skype and I can record it. I found a way to do that, and that's the next thing I want to bring up, because it's not something that's built into your Mac anymore. I guess under the really old Macs, you used to have a little program that would just record whatever went through your sound card and stuff. They kind of got rid of that. So you definitely have to have a way of channeling everything back to one place if you want to record it all. And so, for the channeling part, I'm using SoundFlower. And I can get everything to go in, except for my microphone. I couldn't get my microphone to go in. But I started playing around with Skype, and I started figuring out how I could get the Skype to record. But here's the trick. Skype only sends your microphone to the other server. They don't run anything through your sound card to be picked up. So what I would get is I would do the test call and I'd get the beeps and the lady would come up with the British voice, and she's the coolest thing in the world and everybody knows that, but hey. But she comes up and I would talk into it. But the computer couldn't pick up my voice. And then it would play back. You would hear my voice because the servers at Skype were sending the signal back to my computer with my voice in it. They'd recorded it and were now playing it back. But I did discover a way around that. What I do is I got this little program. It's free. And if you really need it, I can help you find it. You can look it up online on Google. It's called Line In. It's free. And what it does is it takes your headset or your microphone and it allows you just to pass that on into whatever channel you want to. So I've actually got the SoundFlower and in the line in right now, and that's how I'm recording this, because I want to give also a little piece of advice about a program that I got a hold of, because I was telling you about getting Ableton Live. But to do this, all you have to do is install the SoundFlower. You go to all the different programs that you want to record, and you change all their outs to SoundFlower. Then you take what you're going to record into. In my case, it's Audacity. You change the in on that to SoundFlower. Then you start up this line in, and you change the output on it to SoundFlower too. And it'll just pass the stream right along. It's beautiful. So I have absolutely no problems now firing up Skype, setting up the Soundflower, making sure my voice is on there, the person I'm talking to's voice is on there. So I'd love to do that with anybody who's interested, except for one kind of person. Warning. I love music. That's why I'm doing this. I don't love this like one kind of music. I have everything on my MP3 player from Boston and Red Hot Chili Peppers to a girl band in Korea. Country music. That song Sexy Can I from a few years ago, if you remember it. Salsa music. So if you're one of those people who's like a music snob, I'm the wrong person to talk to. You don't want to talk to me. Because I can know what I'm going to tell you if you tell me you don't like my kind of music. Then that is, you can suck my butt and die. I actually had a friend on Facebook once who told me that I didn't know what kind of music I liked. Because apparently there's some great conspiracy amongst the music companies to keep you and me from listening to the kind of music we like, and they brainwashed us. And I'm literally sitting there reading this on Facebook thinking, you pompous ass, who the hell are you? Really? That what you think of me? And of course he's blocked, we're not friends anymore. I mean, that's. You want to be crazy, that's fine. Go find a bus stop and harass somebody. But you're not going to harass me. So if you are like one of those people that believe that, like death heavy metal, blah blah blah, is the only kind of real music in the world, or hip hop's the bomb and everything else is just crap, go away. Just go away. I know people are always like, Tom, you ought to be nice to people. Be nice to people. I am operating under the assumption that there are at least some rational, reasonable, intelligent people left in America. And if I'm wrong, you know what? Sorry about my luck. But I'm not going to change my mind. So, that's my welcome, who I am, what I've done, what I'm doing, why I'm doing this. So, let me go back and go over a couple of stories because this is going to be like my first little thing here. So I kind of want to tell you what I am into and what's been going on. I mentioned to you the Ableton and actually also I've written some books recently, so I have not been doing this much until around the first of the year. I've not really wasn't messing with my guitars every day. Or listening to music, or dealing with music, or trying to set things up every day, until recently, until January. And I got into it really about halfway through January. So, and I'm actually getting pretty good. So we'll see. Like I said, I'll break the guitars out one day. But for now, this is just kind of bringing up the speed and getting a little bit into my world and what I think and how I think. So. I want to go back to the Ableton thing just because it was kind of an unexpected surprise that I got that for free. Of course, it was cool too, 'cause, and I've been playing around with Ableton. It has some advantages and it has some disadvantages. The disadvantages, I think, are a little bit bigger than the advantages. Basically, Ableton Live, it does recording. But it's kind of a second thought for them. It's on top of what they really want you to be able to do with it. And what they really want you to be able to do with it, and if you look at the introduction that it gives, they show you the sets and the scenes. It basically gives you a set, a group of different instruments and stuff that you can stick into it, and that you can set up yourself, and then you can go and you can play those. It also has in there loops, and there's places at the top where you can layer loops, and everything on the first layer will all play together. So if you have some instruments, some backing, or tracks that you want to play while you're sing live or something, you can put those in that in the first layer, and then put the ones from the break in the next layer, and then put the ones from the chorus in the third layer. And you can have somebody just click through and back and forth, and you can actually play the whole song out like that. You know, of course, they've got to listen to the beat and time it correctly to do that. But that's really what it's made for. So it's really good about organizing those things. I have some problems with a couple of other things with it, though. And one of those is the way that it does the recording side. If you flip the views over to that recording side, there's just not a lot of information there. And you have to go poking around to find some of what you want. It's pretty standard stuff, and it's set up pretty simply. It has a sampler built into it, because strangely enough, even though you can set up different instruments in it, and you can set those up to where they pass information, for some reason, you can't do it live. You can't play on the keyboard and have two instruments fire on there at once. If you have a recorded MIDI loop, you can stick that in, and they will play through that. And you can pass the MIDI from one instrument to another, and that will work. But what do you do when it's live and you have something complicated? You have to actually go fire up their sampler. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, that's just odd. And there's one other thing I have with it that I'm really not convinced about. And that is, let me approach it a little differently on that. It seems to me like this is something that's good. If you do have some loops and you have a pattern and you know how you want to set them up, and you want to run them through yourself and let them loop until you reach the point to where, you know, you don't have to extend loops or whatever. Because, you know, in most DAWs, you can pull the loop out and make the loop run several times in a row, right? But you can do this here and just switch it over. Now, I can see where you can make patches for songs. And then if you have something you want to record, go to the other side and just record an instrument in. But I still don't think I would use that for a full song, for the simple reason of this. The reason that I got the Mac is for the GarageBand. Then the reason I got the GarageBand was for the GarageBand 11, which I put on it last summer. And there's two things that it does that the other does not, that the Ableton does not. The first thing that it does that the Ableton does not is it allows you to take anything that you record in, whether it's MIDI or whether it's something you recorded in as an instrument, and you can turn it into a loop. So you can go ahead and you can pull it out and you can place it wherever you want to in there, and it just goes into your loop files with your other loops. So if you have something you've made that you like, you've got it. It's there. The other thing is that it has the free float and the time stretch, and you can set up one track to be the timing for all the other tracks so that they match up. And that's a nice function. I noticed that in the Ableton, and I did this by recording with it, it's really about matching the timing. It really goes by measure, beat, you know, right on down like that. Measure, note, beat. That's you have to use that. If the first time I tried to export from it, I accidentally didn't have anything set, and it actually put out an empty MP3 file because I didn't realize I actually had to make sure it had the time in it as far as how many measures the track I had that I had just recorded into it had in it, and it would only make the MP3 for those measures. And that's just odd to me that it has that little glitch in it. Because I can tell you that when I do anything in GarageBand, if I take and I make a track, and it doesn't matter what you make it out of, unless you have marked ins and outs and you tell it, GarageBand's going to record that whole track or tracks regardless. So you get what it tells you. You don't have to worry about finding the time and making sure that it's not coming up short on measures or beats on you. And the other thing is that they now have the GarageBand where it free flows. So you don't have to start a track or anything at a given point on the GarageBand now. You know, it used to snap the grid. But you can turn the snap off, you know, snap to the beat or whatever. You can turn that off now. And then you can just move these over a little bit at a time to where you get them to where you want them. So, and that's really helpful. Because if you think about it, there's just little riffs and fills. And even other types of transitions, or even the beginning maybe of a verse or something like that. To where it's not always exactly on the beat where you think it's going to be. And we all know it works like that. That deal with this stuff because, you know, you get delays. You can put delays into where you make a track run slightly behind because it sounds more natural. So it just seems to fit and work better to have that done that way. So that's my little spiel about Ableton. I can see where it's useful. I can see where I would use it for some things once I have, you know, a bunch of tracks or loops organized. And I know what they are, and I know I want to use them. And then I know I want to put some record just something else with it. I would do that because that's pretty easy. But man, I wouldn't want to be doing any heavy duty editing with it in there because that just looks like a nightmare. So that's my little spiel. Ableton's a fun, cool toy that you can make use of, but it's not the greatest thing in the world. It's okay. So. The only other thing I wanted to mention right now, just to keep this short, and because this is kind of an introduction, I've recently written a couple of songs that are worship songs for my church. I don't just do church music, though. I'm also trying to learn Here Comes the Sun. I can decently play Brown Eyed Girl. I can play... I'm Feeling You by Santana. I can play the rhythm for that. I mostly play rhythm on my acoustic. But the Rocksmith is slowly helping me with that. And it's certainly building my chops. And I do want to talk to you about Rocksmith one day. It's just not going to be today. So I've been cleaning up my Mac lately, getting it ready to go. Because I want to try to just do a little home recording, record this little worship song, and see what it sounds like, see if I can make it sound good. Yeah, I've already got my lyrics and my tabs and everything, my chords all written out, so, yeah, I just basically need to add other instruments to it. Pretty good about most of them. Drums are my weakness and my Achilles heel, but I think I can do most of the rest of it and make it sound pretty good, and then I'm going to fake my way through the drums as much as possible. I don't know how much work I'm going to put into that or how much it's going to take at this point, but... So I've been cleaning up my Mac lately because when I bought it a few years ago, they only had GarageBand 08. And GarageBand 11 didn't come out till last year. I updated the Snow Leopard and then bought the GarageBand 11 to put on it for the reasons I told you about the timing and to be able to float segments loose and not have them snap to the beat or the measure anymore. But when I did... I lost a couple of my instruments and my effects that were older. So I've actually been going through and cleaning it up. And I've got it now to where all the instruments that I have in there, all the digital instruments are all up to date. I need to go back and go through the rest of my rack. And I'll probably start working on that this weekend and do that pretty soon. So that's what I'm doing with that. I did want to... point out though one thing that I've sitting here and been playing with a little bit because this reminded me of what I didn't like about the Ableton, and I'm not using this. I just kind of set it up as an example, and I'm rambling now. I meant to do this when I was talking about the Ableton. But like I said, it's really hard in Ableton to get the disparate things to work together. And they have a sampler in it, but I don't know why I would use that. Because you can get Sample Tank for free, the free version. And you don't get everything with it, but you can go get a bunch of other instruments. And you can use any samples of it that are like WAV or AIF files. So who cares? So, you know, I got this thing set up. I put a little organic lead in here and a little bass. I got this little file called 2-chord that has all these different pieces onto it. And whereas, you know, you would be like playing with spaghetti trying to do this in Ableton. I actually have this set up to where, you know, I can sit here and I can press this little button and... And as you can hear, it just plays all of them together. You just put them all on the same track in there, on the same channel. And they just all play together. And if you go through and you do that enough and you figure out which ones these pieces you would want, you got the basics of a track right there. So this is the reason why I would never use the Ableton for this kind of stuff, because it just does not seem like that would work all that well. So, but that's all my little spiel. So as you can see, and I know how to play with all this stuff. I've got like a bazillion of these things. I'll eventually use all of them, probably not right away, but you know, you got to be like creative and look around and poke. You know, not every synth is set up exactly the same. You know, they all have different types of voices to them. Some have pink noise, white noise. You know, some use, most of course use oscillators, but even with that there's variations, because you know, who knows how strong an oscillator is in one, what wavelength that they're actually using compared to another one. I mean, there could be this little differences and you get totally different sound. So, but I'll get into all that another time. I think I've done enough damage today. But that's my spiel. Now you know a little bit about me. You know why I'm doing this. You'll hear from me again probably in a couple of weeks. And if anybody wants to jump in and talk about things or anything like that, please feel free. Just email me at tsprigs, G as in George, at zoho.com, Z-O-H-O. And we'll set it up to where there's a time where we're both available and you can Skype me and we'll record. All right, so that should be good for the first one. I gave you some a little bit of advice and some an example and told you a little bit about me, and the next time I come back, we'll do something maybe a little bit more interesting. But I only decided to do this a couple of days ago. So I'm kind of like half prepared for it, and there's a lot of stuff to go over the first time you do a posting like this, and I just wanted to do it, get it out of the way, then come back and do the fun stuff later. So probably in a couple of weekends, I'll do the fun stuff. Right, so have a good couple of weeks, and we'll talk again soon. Bye.